Hello, Internet family. This is Anjanette Potter, also known as Adam's Rib, and you are listening to the Smart Black Girls Club podcast. So tonight I have the main topic is meant to be white feminism. And I'm going over white feminism. I'm going to give you a few more definitions here. I want to first touch on, and I'm talking about white feminism because white feminism is a term that has been showing up in a lot of black feminist circles. And I'm going to first touch on what actual feminism is. Okay, now I identify as a Christian feminist because I am a born-again Christian and I do believe in equal rights. Okay, and I do believe in the fight for women's rights. So feminism is a range of socio-political movements and ideologies that aim to define and establish the political, economic, personal, and social equality of these sexes. So gender equality, also known as sexual equality or equality of the sexes, is the state of equal ease of access to resources and opportunities regardless of gender, including economic participation and decision making, and the state of valuing different behaviors, aspirations, and needs equally regardless of gender. So basically equal rights. And so feminist movements have campaigned and continue to campaign for women's rights. So let's talk about women's rights. Women's rights are the rights and entitlements claimed for women and girls worldwide. They form the basis for the women's rights movement in the 19th century and the feminist movements during the 20th, 21st, and 21st centuries. In some countries, these rights are institutionalized or supported by law, local custom, and behavior, whereas in others, they are ignored and suppressed. They differ from broader notions of human rights through claims of an inherent historical and traditional bias against the exercise of rights by women and girls in favor of men and boys. So now let's talk about, let me give you another definition. So let's talk about patriarchy. Now, patriarchy is a social system in which positions of dominance and privilege are primarily held by men. It is used as both a technical anthropological term for families or clans controlled by the father or eldest male or group of males, and in feminist theory, where it is used to describe broad social structures in which men dominate over women and children. In these theories, it is often extended to a variety of manifestations in which men have social privileges over others, causing exploitation or oppression, such as male dominance of moral authority and control of property. Patriarchal societies can be patrilineal or matrilineal, meaning that property and title are inherited by the male or female lineage, respectively. So you're getting, because many times you hear in feminist circles where people talk about the patriarchy. So I wanted to go ahead and give you a definition of what patriarchy is. Now, I just recently left a church where they are very heavily patriarchal, to the point where they feel like men are supposed to be able to vote on which women can stay saved. And I found out that it was really a cloak for human trafficking. Okay? Now, God is not allowing that. And you never have to earn what someone should not be doing to you. Okay? Like the Holy Spirit told me. So I went head to head with this female blogger a few years back. And she was talking about, she was talking about women and girls who wind up sexually assaulted or wind up getting pressured for sex and different stuff like that. Means that you flunked a hoe test. And so she was going into this bullshit explanation and saying before a man invests in a woman, he tests her to see if she's worthy of his time and his investment. That's a lie. Most men that are testing you are not testing you because they're trying to invest. Okay? Most men, if a man graduates to the point where he is coercing you sexually, it is because he's abusive. And it's a good way for you as a woman to navigate men. Like I tell people all the time, when I am looking at a man, you know, and I talked about, you know, I talked about when I, as a single woman, am navigating the world of men and are deciding what men to be involved with. The first thing to ask yourself is whether or not the man that's talking to you or expressing interest is in keeping with your goals as a woman. If your goal is to marry, and so, you know, she wrote this, you know, if your goal is to marry, then there are certain men that need to be wrote off. And I don't think that you should play down wanting to get married in order to get married. I think it's very unhealthy and toxic. Even if you wind up, let's say he winds up proposing, and you happen to manipulate and do all that other stuff, that's kind of whatever you do to get them, you kind of have to keep doing to keep them. And after a while, that gets exhausting. It gets exhausting having to play all these games to get a man to be with you, so I refuse to play them. Now, some men like that because it makes them feel important. Just like there are some men who are toxic enough to like when women flex on other women. Okay, I don't view husbands as a flex because I guess I was raised by husbands. My mother's brothers were all married, and many of them married to the same woman for pretty much my whole entire existence on this earth. Whole lot of long-lasting marriages on my dad's side as well. Even though my parents' marriage did not last and did not stay, they didn't stay married, but many other people in my family did. And a lot of men, you know, no woman that I know that was married to a man for a very long time sees a husband as a flex. And 9 times out of 10, because they know what really goes into keeping a marriage. And if many of these women really knew what they were getting, they would not be busy trying to make other women feel bad over not having a man. Okay? And you get into this unhealthy thing of trying to prove to other women that you can get a man, which is very toxic. And it's very toxic. Because your focus should be on trying to be with somebody who's best for you. Not trying to prove to a bunch of toxic Christians that you can get a man. Getting a man is not the most important thing in the world. And if you really actually read your Bible, you would know that God blesses singleness as well as marriage. Now, even though I'm not letting go of believing to be married. Okay, the bottom line is you're just as blessed single as you are married. Period. And this is not just something I'm saying because I'm single. So to talk about feminism, because I think a lot of the attacks on women, like I keep saying here, and I'm going to continue to say, the recent attacks on unwed mothers, because that's really who you're going after. You're not going after, because if the woman produced a child within marriage, you're leaving divorced women alone. You're leaving, my equipment fell down. You're leaving divorced women alone. And you're leaving widows alone, because those are women who have been married. Although there's also social sanctions against those single mothers as well. Those are not the ones that you're really coming for with your viciousness. You're coming for unwed mothers. Anyway, back to this discussion I had with this blogger. So I looked at the scenarios that she was going for, and they were very horrible scenarios. So I said, at least two of these scenarios involve men who are already in relationships. Now, I, as a Christian feminist, as a Black woman, as a woman who is practicing abstinence, have a little bit of problem with a man who thinks that he's allowed to test me and he's in a relationship. Okay, so my thinking Black woman cap gets offended at this. I'm like, since when is it okay to allow men who are already in relationships or already married to test you? And I said, married men are lucky I let them breathe the same air I do. Now you can say, well, don't you sound a little stuck up? So what? I don't care about men who are cheating on their wives and violating their covenant of marriage, trying to get with me. And then now you already are on my shit list. You are already on the list of men that I'm marking a line through your name because you're not available to marry. And on top of not being available to marry, you now think it's okay to have power over an additional woman and try to test me. First of all, if you're a married man and you're a Christian married man, you are already in sin because adultery is a sin. So God so the Holy Spirit ain't even waving you in. And God is not gonna make no woman put up with you when you're already married. And the fact that you don't have no conviction about entertaining a side piece says a lot about you and the women who follow you. So I already checked her on that. I'm like, okay, first of all, these men who are not, that are already in a committed relationship, that's already wrong. They already ain't got no business in my face to begin with. And the funny thing is, out of this so-called religious group, the number of married men who keep claiming to have Christian values but keep getting mad because women don't want to fool with married men is astonishing to me. Where do you have the right to get angry and act entitled to a woman that you're not even legally married to? The nerve. Then I said, and these other two, I think one of them was somebody who got the pussy and didn't call back, which I'm like, girl, write that off and learn from that experience. Don't fuck them on the first date or don't whatever. Take your time getting to know them to see if they have the same values you do. Okay, so that ain't no big thing. The other one, that he won't date me unless I put out bye. Bye. So none of these men were men that I would consider qualified to be anybody's man. And it's amazing to me the number of women who keep judging women by standards of men that to me are throwaways. Oh yeah, some men are, the way I evaluate a throwaway is a whole lot different than a whole lot of other women. Like if they're abusive, you can't talk to me. I lived in a neighborhood where two guys I knew were had reputations for putting their hands on women. So one lived across the hall from me, or at least his girlfriend did, or baby mama, whatever. And so he kept trying to holler at me, and I wouldn't give him the time of day, where his baby mama caught him knocking on my door, and he wanted to knock on my door and thought he was going to stand there and knock until I answered the door. Well, I didn't answer the door because I don't, you know, I remember Judge Lynn one time in divorce court talking about, you know, disassembled communities. And so disassembled community is a community where there's really no regard for marriage. There's no regard, like the men just sleep randomly through different apartments where the women live, and the women are fussing with each other over these pieces of men. It's just terrible. And it's funny that nobody tells women, young women anymore. Not only do they not tell women about, you know, how some men, you should draw a line through their name and keep it moving, they also don't tell men how to be men. Okay, so it's funny to me the number of men of all colors that have the nerve to approach you all the way wrong and then get mad at you because you don't want to be bothered. And will curse at you. So this guy kept knocking on my door, and his, you know, the woman he had pregnant or whatever, or flopped with, whenever he had nowhere else to go, because the highest amount of survival sex in the Black community is being practiced by Black men. Okay, she caught him and then got mad at me. And so she, you know, continued to loud talk me and wanted to talk all kind of garbage to me and wanted to say all kind of mess. And so finally my godmother told me, she said, when I had her alone, I told her, she said, yeah, your man tried to talk to her. And you know what? She said she didn't want him. She refused all of his advances. Don't nobody want that mess but you. She didn't entertain him. Now, she kept a grudge for the longest and even flirted with my son's father when he came for a visit. So, yeah, he came for a visit one time during the time that my son was actually alive. And I'm like, now I began to look at her side-eyed. I'm like, if you're going to mess around with a man of mine, why don't you mess with somebody that's worthy of you coming after? This motherfucker don't even take care of his kid. That's what I find so interesting about that in this battle of women's rights. I'm still a feminist. I'm not quitting feminism. Even though there have people who've been... I'm like, what in the world would I quit feminism for? Okay, for what? I looked at a thing here on, I think it was Vox. What is this channel? Jubilee.
Founders Young.
Yeah, unfortunately, you can hear, you know, whatever, but you can hear my TV acted up. So on Jubilee, which I think is a thing of Vox, they did a thing called feminist women versus non-feminist women. And some of the results were surprising. Some of them weren't. Some of them I was surprised to disagree with, and some of them I was surprised not to disagree with. Let me say this. The Holy Spirit hasn't convicted me about fighting for women's rights. Okay, so these people who think that you're supposed to leave feminism behind because of whatever, whatever, no, I'm not leaving it. But it is just so shocking to me the way that women give away rights to men who don't deserve them. Like, if he's abusive to women, he does not deserve your time and attention. I had this argument with this person. I confronted the lie. I was like, how do you figure, why would I want to pass a test for all four of these losers? These are men that you should be telling women to stay away from. You shouldn't be telling women to pass a test for these guys, because you should not be telling women to pass a test for these men, because these men are not worthy of passing a test for. If anything, women should be walking, okay. If anything, women should be walking away from guys like this. And so today, another example I'm going to talk about. I was looking at a fellow blogger's live, and she was talking about these two rappers, I guess, that are at war. The woman got pregnant by this guy. And, you know, there are some self-esteem issues that I think should be examined there, because why a guy would be this horrible to you and you would still be hanging on to him is a horse of another color. And let's face it, many of us have faith institutions that teach us to hang on to men that ain't shit. Okay? And it seems like the worse the guy acts, the more the faith institution tries to get you to hold on to him. Okay, the worst they are. And so I'm looking at this, and I guess the guy told her that he was going to torture her until she miscarried or gave up the baby, I don't know what. But I was like, now, I have a problem with the fact that y'all are an additional voice yelling at her and fussing at her. And she was, you know, the girl was... They showed a clip of the girl, and I guess she was in her car crying because now the guy won't leave her alone. And so I'm like, okay, won't leave her alone means she left this situation alone and just decided to have her baby alone. Okay, and she's your excuse for attacking unwed mothers. Yeah, some people should be ashamed to call themselves Christian. And so I said, let me tell you something. I watch how men deal with the women that they call themselves picking. And if you are mean to your wife, if you are mean to your baby mama, if you're mean to pregnant women, okay, I remember a best friend of mine getting into a fight with her boyfriend and him twisting her arm up behind her back while she was pregnant. I don't care what your excuse is. Violence toward women is never acceptable. And violence against women that are pregnant is never acceptable. Especially if the seed that she is carrying is yours. And so I was listening to this and I was like, the bad thing is, you know, the number one bad thing is that he's torturing a pregnant woman. And y'all are yelling at her. Well, she knew he didn't want no kids. Who the hell cares? He's still torturing her. And if he did want no kids, he shouldn't have slept with her. He shouldn't have had sex with her if he didn't want no kid. If he didn't want to take the chance... The best way to not impregnate someone that you don't want carrying your seeds is to not have sex with them. And it always amazes me that men will coerce and wear the hell, I'm not giving in. Men will try to wear at you until they get some pussy and then have the nerve to get mad at you when you get pregnant. And then have the nerve to want to be mad at her. And this will be the same kind of motherfucker that will sit over here and arrange to kill her because he don't want to pay no child support and wind up going to jail for the rest of his life. We need to teach our young people better. did not want to have any children is not an excuse. And the bad thing is, as bad as he is treating this young lady, there will be young ladies lined up to sleep with this mug. I'm not apologizing for venting. There will be women who will be lined up to sleep with this man. And then have the nerve to act surprised that he's treating them bad. You watched him, like I said, when are y'all gonna learn? You watched him be cruel, and some of y'all think it's cute to ask these mugs to be cruel and break some other woman's heart to prove their loyalty to you. And then want to run up to the very ones. I was in a church one time, and this girl put me through holy hell trying to compete with me over a man that I wasn't even looking at. I'm up here, got my little preacher's cap on, wanting to study ministry. And between, excuse me, Lord, and between her and this young man's family, all they did was worry me to death about this man. Okay. And then when I finally was just like, you know what, you can have his sorry ass. I'm not saying it now. I'm like, I want my call to ministry. And so after all of it was over and she, quote, got him, all of a sudden she wanted to be in my, and it's always these ones. Then she wanted to be in my face. Well, I don't really want no kids. She knew this man wanted children. She knew she didn't want no children. She knew she did not want nothing that he was wanting, but yet worried me half to death, and I wasn't even dating him. And I'm like, my name is Bennett, and I ain't in it. They're all yours. Because this church I'm here to tell you was a hot mess. And they still harass me to this day. Now, like I said, how you call yourself a feminist and you still flexing on women over men? You need a life. Now, back to, and that's how I felt about this blogger and still feel this way about her. I stopped following her. Because I couldn't reconcile, like, this is horrible advice. So a woman gets raped or gets coerced by a man and you're blaming her by saying she had to earn him not pressuring her? You never have to earn what someone should not be doing to you. I don't care what color he is. I don't care what his social standing is in society. I don't care about none of that mess. I don't care what his title is. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit more, but I had to vent for a minute because being a woman that fights for women's rights, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes you almost want to lay down your torch. I'm not laying it down though. But sometimes fighting for women's rights is not always hard because of men. Sometimes fighting for women's rights can be hard because of other women. Because of the power women give men, because of women's intense thing of wanting to pull you into imaginary contests that they haven't in their damn mind over a man. Other women can be exhausting. Other women can be as emotionally abusive as the worst man. Now, I'm not letting go of being a feminist. Because as far as I'm concerned, that's my test back. If you have a problem with me fighting for women's rights, then you can't be here. So let me get into Christian feminism, because I want to give, you know, a few definitions here before I go into my little thing. I just had to get that off my chest. Sometimes women can get on your nerves. Sometimes other women can get on your nerves. Especially when they're always wanting to be in your face over a man. And by the way, to whom this may concern, I'm staying in music ministry and keeping my legs closed. So you lose. Anyway, other women can get on your nerves. They really can. Just like when you're fighting for the rights of black people and you're coming against racism, sometimes other black people can make your ass hurt. Because it's the people who benefit the most from your fight that will sometimes give you the hardest time. Okay? And to whom it may concern, I'm not your Oreo. Now, like I will say, I don't mind offending an oppressor if it will get protections for my people, and my people being women, black women, black people, anybody that's oppressed. Okay? But yeah, other black people can get on your nerves. Now, I'm not interested in divesting. But other black people can get on your nerves. It can get on your nerves to be fighting inequality and have the very people that you are fighting in favor of rooting against you. Are liking to see you fail. Like I have said before, there are times when I feel like black people stay trying to crawl back onto the plantation that we left over 150, 200 years ago. Now, I ain't never been no slave. I'm a descendant of slaves, and I'm not ashamed of it. I'm an African American. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed of being a descendant of Africans. If black people would look at some of the terms that you make up for other black people, you call other black people Oreos. You do know that the term Oreo was grounded and rooted in racism. Telling other black people that they act too white. Do you know how many times I have heard that I wasn't black enough because I like books? Or because I wasn't opening my legs to the wrong guy? Or because I finished high school without a baby? Or because you're not selling pussy? If you really would listen to yourselves when you open up your mouth to another black person, you would recognize how dumb you sound, how dumb and stupid and ignorant you sound. Now, I don't like them terms when black people say them to me. And I really ain't trying to hear them from a white person, because you're the reason for these damn terms. So let me talk about Christian feminism. So, and yes, there are born-again Christian women who are feminists. It is a school of Christian theology which seeks to advance and understand the equality of men and women morally, socially, spiritually, and in leadership from a Christian perspective. Christian feminists argue that contributions by women and an acknowledgement of women's value are necessary for a complete understanding of Christianity. Christian feminists believe that God does not discriminate on the basis of biologically determined characteristics such as sex and race, but created all humans to exist in harmony and equality regardless of race or gender. Christian feminists generally advocate for anti-essentialism as a part of their belief system, acknowledging that gender identities do not mandate a certain set of personality traits. Their major issues include the ordination of women, biblical equality in marriage, recognition of equal spiritual, moral and abilities, abortion rights, integration of gender neutral programs within readings of the Bible, and the search for a feminine or gender transcendent divine. Christian feminists often draw on the teachings of other religions and ideologies, in addition to biblical evidence and other Christian text-based texts throughout history that advocate for women's rights. The term Christian egalitarianism is often preferred by those advocating gender equality and equality amongst Christians who do not wish to associate themselves with the feminist movement. Okay, there's a reason why I'm, you know, going into all those terms. Now let's get to the main subject, which is white feminism. Now, white feminism is a term which is used to describe expressions of feminism which are perceived as focusing on white women, but are perceived as failing to address the existence of distinct forms of oppression faced by ethnic minority women and women lacking other privileges. I call it being tone deaf. In other words, only recognizing oppression that is centered around white women. Now, the term has been used to label and criticize theories that are perceived as solely focusing on gender-based inequality, primarily used as a derogatory label. Yeah, white feminism is not a compliment. So if you're a white woman listening, you know, it's not a compliment. It's really not. It's basically a way of terming certain types of white feminism as racist. It's basically a way of calling you racist. So if you hear that you're a white feminist, it is not a compliment. It is really a way of calling you racist, because it's saying that you're insensitive to what women of color, and especially black women, go through. So if you remember when I've been doing this series, 28 Days of Black Feminism in February, like I said, now I'm doing 11 months of Black History, because in support of making Black History a regular part of, you know, being taught year round, with a special emphasis on February. I don't want to throw away February being Black History Month. And really, to be perfectly honest with you, the people, well, you should set out Black History Month in order. So I'm like, no, you know, no, there are people who really don't like us even having February. So the last thing I want to do is set it out, because then those people, it's not a thing of them winning. It's the fact that those particular people will decide, well, since you ain't celebrating, then we'll just knock it all out, and then we won't have no time to celebrate it. So I would rather do it year-round with a special emphasis on February, because I was reading J.B. Fox, I was reading a post by Jamie Foxx, actor Jamie Foxx, where he was saying, you know, I'm black all the time, but during February, I get to be blackity black. And I like that thought. I like the thought that there is a month that I get to focus on being blackity black and everything. And like I said, there's some people who don't even like us having the month. I call that tone deaf whiteness, okay? And tone deaf blackness. You don't understand that we have the month because the rest of the time is dedicated mostly to white history. We get to hear about the forefathers and everybody else. You know, we got one little month that we have for ourselves, and you got people who resent that. So white feminism, like I said, is a white feminism is typically used to reproach a perceived failure to acknowledge and integrate the intersection of other identity attributes. So remember when we said intersectionality, you know, a coined phrase, a term coined by Kimberly Crenshaw, whose YouTube channel I now follow. It's an analytical framework for understanding how a person's various social and political identities combine to create different modes of discrimination and privilege. Now, you have some people who don't like to talk about the modes, the intersects of oppression or discrimination, maybe a better term, because, well, I'm a born-again Christian and I ain't oppressed. We're not talking about that type of oppression, okay? We're talking about, you know, I, as a born-again Christian, like to know what demons I'm facing. Because I know I have victory in every area over Satan. I also know that when he brings certain things against me, like racism, like sexism. Yes, sexism, you know, sexism is not, well, women learned how to submit. We're not supposed to submit to everything. I did a post on the conditions under which, you know, submission is. First of all, many of the men who are trying to get women to submit aren't even their legal husbands. I think it's so interesting that you have people who won't do the one thing that's necessary to, that don't want to meet no conditions for, you know, being anybody's husband. But want you to meet all of these conditions in order for them to wife you. It's nuts. So white feminism is basically insensitivity to other female groups, insensitivity to other women's, you know, oppression. Like I said before, when it comes to the whole issue of women's rights, globally, because I am not just a black feminist, but I am also, I believe in the unity of women globally. I believe where you, you know, if you're a born-again Christian woman, you should be able to pray for women in other lands. You know, intercession on behalf of women who are, women and children, and especially girl children that are being oppressed everywhere. You know, I have a problem with people who keep hollering. I have a problem with people who, number one, don't acknowledge prayer. You ain't got no money. How are you supposed to go into these foreign lands and affect change if you can't fly there? You know what I'm saying? So I have, being a person that wasn't raised in church, and I'm starting to be thankful that I wasn't, because I believe that people who were raised in church seem to be taught to put up with a whole lot of craziness. And it's a whole lot of craziness that I wasn't raised to put up with. I for real. We put up with a lot of racism. I'm not big on wringing my hands and acting as though I don't have the power of Christ on my side. Okay? And, you know, but there are a lot of dysfunctional churches out there. So white feminism is basically a term, you know, I have to say, who coined that? Okay. So at its origin, feminism in Western societies was represented by white educated women focusing on the right to vote. So if you remember the one year I talked about the four waves of feminism. So the first, you know, wave of feminism was the women's suffragist movement. Now, even though there were white women, because the first thing that's going to happen is some of the pro-black people are going to show up. So let me say this. Even though there were white women who wanted to phase out black women, and those white women were mostly in the South, they threatened to not be involved because they didn't want to be involved with black women. I still read off to you, there were still plenty of black women who were yet still involved in the suffragist movement. One of them was Sojourner Truth, the woman who talked about Ain't I a Woman. There were Native American women, Sacajawea, I believe, might have been, don't quote me. Look it up. Antoinette, you were wrong. I take the bullet now. In case I'm misquoting, but there were many black women. Let me see here. Let me go on and let Bing be my friend. And these. So here we go, African Americans women's suffragist movement. So African American women began to agitate for political rights in the 1830s. These groups would include Boston Female Anti-Slavery Society, Philadelphia Female Anti-Slavery, and New York Female Anti-Slavery. Throughout the 19th century, African American women such as Harriet Fortin Purvis, Mary Ann Shad Carey, and Frances Ellen Watkins Harper. So there were plenty of women, there were plenty of black women who still participated, even though they were marginalized. So yeah, here we go. The suffragist movement began with women such as Harriet Tubman. So these are some very familiar names. Harriet Tubman, Sojourner Truth, Ida B. Wells, Mary Church Terrell, who you heard me talk about, Ella Baker, Rosa Parks, Angela Davis. Okay, because remember, black people, white people were so against us voting that we had to be given the right to vote twice. Like I said before, when you hear some of the people that are talking now, I'm like, you need to open up a history book. Because in all honesty, some people act like, when I hear people say, well, you're talking too much about slavery. And it's, you know, it's being used as an excuse to not do what it takes to get yourself together now. Well, most of the people that are complaining about racism, current day racism, and different other stuff, because we're still suffering. There are still people. I looked at Dr. Rashad on YouTube, part of the Young Turks, and a woman showed up and said, there are still numbers against people who have too black a sounding name when they are applying for jobs. We're still getting the spillover. We just now had to sign another bill protecting our right to wear our hair the way it comes out of our head and not be discriminated against for wearing natural hair. It's tiring, but it's a fight I'm not giving up because I have a daughter, I have a grandson, I probably will have granddaughters and grandsons in the future. You know, my family is not done procreating. You know, you have to fight. You have to fight for those that are coming along behind us. Because if you don't fight, I post a quote by Zora Neale Hurston on my Facebook page every so often, and well, really every day. And it's the one where she says, if you are silent about your pain, they will kill you and swear you liked it. Now that's deep. That's deep. Okay, so even though there were women who tried to phase us out, they didn't succeed because, you know, these other women are still there. One of the reasons I constantly talk about the Black presence in a lot of these movements is to give you something to, because, you know, maybe like me, you're Black and you fight for Black people's rights, but you also feel that need to fight for women's rights as well. And many times when you are fighting for women's rights, you may be opposing some very strong male, Black male figureheads. But it's okay. It's okay to disagree. It's okay. Like one of the times I've had to oppose a lot of males and say, what about women? Even within the hip hop movement, what about women? You just saw, you know, those of you who listen to me know that I just put together a eclectic music geek podcast representing for the female rappers. I even added a few more to that playlist, because we have made major contributions. Now you have people who, well, what about Beast? I don't got time for that. Okay. Sometimes people want equal opportunity and shit, and I'm like, I'm not saying that we should all sit over here. I, you know, I recently watched the Chris Rock special, the second. I watched both halves. So I was at my mom's house doing my laundry, and I decided to go ahead and watch the first half, because I watched the second one only an hour, which I was cool with, even though, like, I go back to my teens with Chris Rock, so I've been a fan a very long time. And I have, you know, because I've come from a family full of a lot of males, you know, and my dad, you know, had issues with being my dad, for a chauvinist as he was, because he was a product of his, you know, his time period. He really was impressed with the church I went to. He started going with me for a little while, and he was impressed that there were female preachers, because back when he was younger, you know, and I think it's funny that we're in 2023 and we're still opposing Black women in leadership. We're still opposing women preachers. I remember when Anne, what is her name? Reverend Billy Anne Graham Lott, I believe her name is. Billy Graham's daughter. So I remember, you know, hearing that she was studying to be in the, you know, to be in the ministry. And I was like, wow. That, you know, because, you know, when you're studying in ministry and you start hearing other women are stepping up, you know, regardless of what their political, regardless of what their viewpoint is, it feels good to see other women stepping up and taking that mic and taking that mantle. And so, because most people have heard of his son, Franklin Graham, but his daughter was starting to step up. Tony Evans' daughter is now preaching. T.D. Jakes' daughter also preaching. So you start to feel good about other women taking that mantle and going forward, even if you, because like I said, even if you don't personally, I don't, you know, give everybody the title of a feminist icon, because some of them might not be feminists. I have to do my research when it comes to that kind of stuff. But to hear that she was taking the mantle was such a thing for me, and I felt so geeked. And I remember telling it to this white gentleman, another one of y'all's nice white guys. I ain't divesting, bump that. And so I said it to this, you know, guy, and he tightened up. and I swear I felt the devil. And so he said, yeah, I used to respect Mr. Graham until this. Yeah, so if you could see my face right now, you would see a look of shock. And I'm like, and the Holy Spirit said, yeah, that is the devil. Okay, because Satan can get in there, you can hold on to these beliefs that, and the belief can turn demonic. And to the point where men feel like they have a right to abuse women. And so I'm gonna get into that further into this podcast, because I'm gonna really talk. And so the issue of feminism, so you know, is God against women having equal rights? I'm gonna say no. I believe that you can be a feminine and champion for other women and still maintain your born-again status. I don't believe that, because look at all these oppressive teachings. I just recently left a church because, you know, they started using witchcraft on me. Okay. And I said, one of the spirits came into my room and, you know, was like, well, can the men use you for sex on their way to other women? And I'm like, no. Yeah. Will you come into ministry and you're dealing with, you know, the supernatural? Like we said, supernatural warfare is real. It is very real. It is not an excuse to abuse children and women, but it is very much real. And I'm going to continue to teach on supernatural warfare. You know, supernatural warfare gets a bad name because of the amount of people who want to blame the devil. We are very much accountable for anything, you know, if Satan presents to you to do something, you are very much accountable for allowing yourself to be used against another believer. You are responsible if you get used against children, if you wind up abusing anybody, if you abuse your position of power, you are very much of the devil, and you are very much being used of the devil. I have already talked about the whole unwed mother thing. And like the you know, Peter was talked to in a dream. You cannot call unclean what God has called clean. If a woman has given her life to Christ and has, you know, is born again, you cannot use her sexual past against her. No one has a right to use your past against you and allow and use your past to cause you to sin. That which is clean cannot be made unclean. No one can cause you to lose your salvation. You are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. You are not saved because the right man picks you. You are not saved. You're not saved based on popular vote. You are not black based on popular vote. Because the next podcast after this, I'm going to go into that whole not black enough mess. And I'm going to give my own personal testimony with it. And things the Holy Spirit said to me about a certain church I was going to. Okay. Yeah, the devil, you know, the word of God says that men hate the light because their deeds are evil. People don't like for you to go forward. That's, you know, part of the spirit that is, you know, against the Me Too movement, which I'm going to talk about. They have my support. They also, you know, have, you know, say her name. I'm going to talk about Black Lives Matter and my stance with them also within this year. So let me talk about, you know, people who want to come for unwed mothers. So there's a term, when I study psychology, and I'm going to go back because I want to study music therapy. And this coming Music Monday, After the, I don't know if any of you all are watching The Voice this season or not. It's some interesting, my team is already filled on the app. It's already filled. My team gets filled pretty quick. And I think some of it is me being, you know, a little quick to fill up my team. So let me see. So I'm going to talk about, let me also, since we've talked about the suffragist movement, I also want to talk about post-colonial feminism. So this is a form of feminism that developed as a response to feminism focusing solely on the experience of women in Western cultures and former colonies. Post-colonial feminism seeks to account for the way that racism and the long-lasting political, economic, and cultural effects of colonialism affect non-white, non-Western women in the post-colonial world. I'm definitely on point with this one. Post-colonial feminism originated in the 1980s as a critique of feminist theories in developing countries. So feminism, you know, is catching on. The women's rights movement are catching on because a lot of women are sick and tired of the oppressive policies in their country that keep women in sex work, that don't want to be in sex work, that oppressive teachings. I just saw not too long ago, a lot of Indian women are catching on, what they call East Asian, because many of these countries, I'm here to tell you now, many of these countries show these women no love at all. So I wanted to go into psychology. So I plan on studying music therapy along with music ministry. I want to enter and I want to study both. I want to study music therapy because I find that music is very, I sing as a music minister because I'm wanting to go into music ministry. It's not just about, if you saw That's My Jam this past Tuesday, and you saw one of my dudes, I know, Billy, oh Lord, the one that was with Kinky Boots. That's what I remember of him. That's not the only thing that he's done that I remember though. And so let me see here. Billy Porter. Okay, so if you saw Billy Porter, there are people who know so well how to imitate the church. And so I always tell people, I'm like, you do realize that many people of the LGBTQ community were raised in church. Okay, so, well, blah, 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 blah. They already know what you believe. They already know what you believe. I hate when people act like just because a person is, you know, practicing a particular lifestyle in their adulthood, like that's where that person has been all along. And I'm not saying this like I'm straight, I'm cis, I'm not a lesbian, but I know a lot about the community because of friends that I've had over the years as a left-leaning person before I became saved. So as a person who had left-leaning politics, you know, and being a former hairdresser, because there are in the fashion industry and beauty industry, gay men are everywhere. Okay, they really are. It's not really a stereotype. There's just, you know, a lot of gay people within the creative arts. There really are. And so, you know, as a result, I, you know, got along pretty good with a lot of gay men. I'm not real offended about them. And, you know, so I don't have the traditional thought, like I don't support, you know, same-sex marriage, which I understand is a big sore spot with a lot of them. But, as I told this woman when I was doing Yes All Women, I don't have to support your lifestyle to care about you as a person. I don't want to see you. I don't want to see anybody committing violence against you, regardless of where you lean there. And I think that, you know, this is where we can come into what I, you know. So in when I was studying psychology, we studied a guy named Carl Rogers. And I really think that this is where a lot of born-again Christians are. So Carl Rogers was a humanistic psychologist. So he talked about conditions of worth. So conditions of worth in counseling are conditions we believe we have to meet in order to gain acceptance or positive regard from others. So some examples of conditions of worth are: work hard to be successful, please others before yourself, men do not cry, do not get angry, do not show any weakness, be quiet, and do as you are told. Now, these are things that we get taught as children. As children, we quickly learn what behaviors, and these can be toxic. So this is the toxic side of obedience. So when I hear people telling young ladies, well, you don't qualify to be married. First of all, that's not true. If you have given your life to Christ, you are forgiven. You have a right to change your life for the better anytime you want. Even if you had done any type of sex work in the past, you have a right to walk away from it and change your life for the better. I mean, that's just it. And so the problem that I had with this post that says you have to, you know, if you don't pass certain criteria, it is okay for a man to coerce you sexually. Let me say this. Coerced sex is rape. If the yes wasn't it, if you didn't give that person a enthusiastic yes. Like, there are people right now that are trying to convince me that they can trade me to the white community. I'm not black based on me meeting certain conditions. I'm black because I was born that way. And I like being black. I don't feel like I was born the wrong color. You know, people try to talk about transracial. I'm not transracial. I never felt like I was born the wrong color. And I'm going to talk about that some more. And it's really a way of trying to project onto you and trying to base your worth on certain things. And unconsciously, we pretty much all do it because we all have a mindset toward, we all tend to weigh people by secular conditions. You know, a woman, you know, when women are sexually assaulted, one of the biggest complaints I've heard from women who report their assault is that they were asked what you were wearing. Now, I will tell you Anjanette's take on what you were wearing. You could be standing, now this is Columbus, so I'm describing streets that are here. You could be standing on the corner of Broad and High, stark raving naked, and I would still say it was okay for a man. I would still say that your no is valid. And that it is not okay for a man to touch you without your permission. Now, people can say, well, what man do you think is going to resist touching a woman, you know, against her will if she's dressed like that? You need to keep your hands to yourself no matter how she's dressed. That's my take on that. I don't care how you're dressed. A man needs to have some self-control and not touch you. Here in Columbus, we have the Columbus Museum of Art. If you really want one of those curators to walk to come to wind up confronting you or talk, touch one of them pieces of art and see how quickly you see one of those curators, one of the attendants that is in there. You touch that piece of art and you are going to see them with the quickness. They know when you touch one of them pieces of art. And they show up rather quickly to let you know that you ain't got no business touching it. Now, there are times when I'm 56, there are times when I feel like it's almost like the adults need to be reminded what is good and bad touch. Because you got grown men who think it is perfectly okay to walk up to a woman that they don't know your first name, and put their and grope you. I went to a concert up in Akron, Ohio, at I think it was Lot 10 or something like that. Lock, I can't remember the name of that place. I went up there twice. The first time I went to go see Kool & the Gang. And then I went, the first time I went to see George Clinton and Parliament Funkadelic. And then the second time I went up there to see Kool & the Gang. And so the first time I went up there, I was, you know, sitting on, you know, one of their places. It's kind of an outside place. Nice place to go. I highly recommend it. I'm sitting there minding my own business, and this young man comes over, black guy, and decides to defraud me. And so I'm an old school dater. And when I say I'm old school in that we expected men to have manners. You couldn't just walk up. When I was younger, you couldn't just walk up, especially a black woman. You couldn't walk up on no woman and just decide you was going to rub up against her and have her be cool with it. So I looked, I was like, you know, and pushed him away. And I'm like, this is what we doing? And the thing of it is, you know, people looking at you like you're the one overreacting. And I was like, I think not. And I elbowed him and pushed and shoved him away. I was like, do I know you? No, I don't know you. I'm like, evidently I'm not your traditional church girl because I don't play that mess. And so it's almost like trying to tell you that you need to fit certain criteria for a man to respect your sexual boundaries. That is utter BS. You do not have to you don't have to earn what somebody shouldn't be doing to you. So let's go into another term from, you know, Mr. Rogers. And that this is one called unconditional positive regard. So unconditional positive regard is a concept that was developed by a man named Stanley Standel and later was expanded on and popularized by the humanistic psychologist Carl Rogers in 1956. This is the basic acceptance and support of a child regardless of what the person says or does, and especially in the context of client-centered therapy. So a lot of people don't believe in it because humanistic psychology, let me, you know, first of all, go on that. It is a psychological perspective that arose in the mid-20th century in answer to two theories. B.F. Skinner's behaviorism and Sigmund Freud's psychoanalytic theory. So many people mistakenly believe that all psychologists agree with Freud. All psychologists do not agree with Freud. All psychologists don't even agree with Skinner. So Skinner's behaviorism believes that we're motivated by rewards and punishment. Now, that is kind of true, but not necessarily. Thus, Abraham Maslow established the need for a third force. And this is where the school of humanistic psychology gets in and it gained traction due to Maslow during the 50s, during the time of the humanistic movement. It was made popular in the 50s by the process of realizing and expressing one's capability and creativity. So humanistic psychology aims to help the client gain the belief that all people are inherently good. So this is where my agreement with humanistic psychology kind of ends, because Christianity teaches that we are born sinful. Okay, we are born sinful because of Eve's transgression in the garden. It opened up the door for us to know both good and evil. So, you know, we don't necessarily believe in that, but unconditional positive regard is kind of, you know, the basic thing of, you know, unconditional love. So Rogers believed that unconditional positive regard is essential for healthy development and tried to establish it as a therapeutic component. Through providing unconditional positive regard, humanistic therapists seek to help their clients accept and take responsibility for themselves. Now, let me say a little something, because therapists often get a bad rap because, you know, people think that, well, you blame the mama. So they go into your background so they can establish where you learn certain behavior patterns, where you learned about relationships, what you were taught about men and women, and what you were taught about how to navigate life. And so that is basically because, you know, you learned it from somewhere. Sometimes you have to unlearn stuff. Okay, maybe you learned that you were unworthy based on, you know, stuff that was said to you, because many times our families mess us up. Yes, I said it. How many times have you looked at a TV series that is designed to provide that kind of help, like a Yama, and, you know, the parents, oh, we did the best we could, and you find out the mom, you know, didn't believe her daughter when her daughter, that this is one that kills me. The number of women and girls that have been raped, and their parents don't believe them. Now, y'all, some of these male worshipers Kevin Samuels. Don't believe your daughter. Don't always be ready to believe your daughter if she tells you that your man looked at her wrong or did something inappropriate. And I was, I'm like, that's what got you took out of here. I'm convinced God snatched you up because you was about to set a generation of people up to be harmed. Okay, well, this is why we don't like to date single mamas. Bump that. I don't give a darn about that. I don't care. Okay, I'm not pressed about protecting men I'm not pressed about protecting men at the thought of harming women and children. So unconditional positive regard, we as born again believers would call that God's agape love, because that's where they kind of got that from. If you read Carl Rogers, you find that a lot of these early psychologists borrowed heavily from the scriptures. So unconditional positive regard does not mean that you are not accountable for your behavior. Along with therapy if anybody who's ever been through therapy knows, there is a high level of accountability in therapy. Because what you get in your sessions, they expect you to practice in your private life so that you can come back and let them know whether or not what you're doing worked. Because if it didn't work, then we have to, you know, think of a different approach to your presenting problem. Okay, so when you go to a therapist, you know, there's you having to tell them what brings you to their office. Just like when you go to a physical doctor, you know, why are you here? Well, I have diabetes and this, that, and the other is going. I need a renewal of my prescription, and I'm going from my own personal life. But you have, you know, a problem with this, that, or the other. And you need to come to them to talk about it. It is called the talk. Now, Freud was one thing that Freud did kind of invent was the talking cure. You know, they found that people who came into a therapist's office and talked about their problems had less problems with and were under less distress because they had somebody to unearth to. I call it unearthing, but they had somebody to talk to, and it helped. It helped with their issues. So, you know, unconditional positive regard says that you, you know, are worthy of God's love. You know, God loves you unconditionally. He has conditions on his promises, but the love that he has for you is unconditional. So somebody coming along and trying to convince you that somehow you don't deserve to have your sexual boundaries protected because of mistakes you made back in your youth, it's completely unbiblical, and it is completely wrong, and it is completely demonic, and I will continue to say it. You do not have to earn what someone should not be doing to you. You do not have to earn not being tortured while you're pregnant. Any man that does not recognize that you should not beat up on or torture pregnant women does not deserve to be in that child's life. I personally think that that young lady should press charges. If he does anything to hurt her, she needs to get a restraining order. Any man that does, you know, like I said myself, as far as women goes, you need to ask yourself about any man that you are thinking about having sex with. Is this an individual that I would even trust alone with a child? Is this somebody who, if I did decide to terminate the pregnancy, can they go half? Can they even afford to pay for an abortion? Or if I choose to keep the child, or is it somebody that, like I said, that I can trust to co-parent with? And I'm not just talking about, will they be dependable to show up for visits and this, that, and the other? Are they somebody that I even trust to be alone with this kid? Okay? Because so many people aren't that responsible. Now, I'm going to talk some more about this. I'm going to talk some more about this topic because I had to do a lot of unearthing on this podcast myself because of so much of warfare that I've had to deal with and everything. But those are the proponents when it comes to white feminism. It's not a good term. It is really a bad term. It suggests that you may be racist. And if you're racist, it's very hard to believe that you can really fight for women's rights effectively. Now, I'm also going to go into, like, you know, when I looked at the Chris Rock special, I bought that up and I forgot to finish it. So he said, he talked about near the end on why he didn't fight back when it came to the Will Smith slap. And he talked about not fighting in front of white people. Now, I understand the sentiment behind that, because there are racist white people in the world that like to watch us fight each other, because it makes them think that somehow they've gained some type of leverage. I personally don't agree with that sentiment and don't agree that it's a sentiment that serves us. I have no problem with us disagreeing. We're not a monolith, so we're not going to agree on every topic, but the key is to be able to disagree agreeably. Don't harm somebody because they don't share your opinion, okay? It doesn't hurt because, you know, as I continue to go into this, especially on the feminist part. I am going to talk about different stances that feminists have on different topics like sex work and different, because there are some that, all feminists don't agree. I remember someone saying to me online, "You're not a real feminist." And I was like, "What is that supposed to mean?" "Well, you still believe blah, blah, blah." Plenty of feminists believe that. Okay, that's why I read the definition of feminist. Because many people, especially men, will try to get you to act like, will try to manipulate you by saying that you're not real. And telling you that you're not real is another way of trying to bully you about any opinions that you might have about a particular topic, such as expecting grown men to take care of their children financially. Okay, if you're not a, I don't date men that don't take care of their kids, because I've raised two children by myself and I refuse to enable men who are not taking care of their kids. I don't date men who torture pregnant women. If you are currently in a situation, I don't date men who hit women. If you show me any signs of abuse, I'm not fooling with you. Don't contact me. Don't inbox me. Don't come near me. If you ain't the right kind of guy, so many women will watch a man. Ain't but so much you gonna do to another woman. And it is about solidarity with women. It's also about paying attention to serious red flags. When a man says publicly that he is going to torture a woman that is pregnant with his child, that's a problem. That's abusive. Why would you give your body to or listen to music that is made by that person? Okay, now the people like Ike Turner, James Brown is the number one one that I think of when I think about, men who still get honored even though they were abusive to women in their past. David Ruffin is another one from the Temps. Unfortunately, they're not here to really defend themselves. And I remember the one case with James Brown where he had this, I can't remember if she was white or just extremely light skinned, but they made the news because he put hands on her. It was late in life when he did this. And, just thinking like, really? Now, James goes down as one of my musical, as far as his music, like I can hear his stuff and, you're trying to separate the art from the artist and everything, but it's hard. It's not easy. It really isn't easy. It's just really not easy. I can't tell you. It's just really not easy. But one of the things I thought about when I went to go see his biopic, I'm like, I wonder how they're going to handle the whole spousal abuse thing and violence against women. Because, he was. It's a matter of record. He was. With just about every woman that he dated, he was violent with them all. It's horrible. It's horrible to hear that about one of your faves, but I'm also able to hear it and not, hop up and defend them. I think violence against women is a very indefensible act. Okay? And, you're a grown woman and you can do what you want. But like my grandmother used to tell me, you can do everything. You can move out. Once you move out and you're under your own roof, you can do what you like. There's some stuff I'm hoping you're not going to want to do. Just because you can do anything you want doesn't mean you should. Anyway, I'm going to, come up off of here. Tomorrow's Friday, so I will be going live at midnight, and I will continue to be talking. I hope you enjoy this excellent content, and I will talk to you tomorrow. This is the sound of me blowing you a kiss. Good night. Hello, you have reached the message line for Adam's Rib Media Ministry. If you would like to give me a shout out, recommend some topics for discussion, or give an opinion about a topic I've already discussed, either on my blogs or here on my podcast, leave a message and I will get back to you as soon as possible. Have a blessed day. Bye-bye.